station, your radio station, our radio station, 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo.
Sunday Live.
Sunday Live on the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. We've been listening to an interview with the co-founder and CEO of Paxful, Reis Yusuf. He spoke to Fasir Peterson. A lot of people asking for the details. I tell you what, I don't have it at hand at the moment, but I'm going to ask Rachel, who's the producer of the show, to formulate something and put it up on vscfm.co.za as well as on our Facebook page, inshallah. So, just watch that probably from tomorrow or so. So talking about, Bitcoin, there's a lot of, a mixed reaction towards this. I'm joined online by Sheikh Ziad Isaacs, who is a consultant and lecturer at IPSA in Islamic finance and banking. He joins us online to sort of just give us the Islamic perspective thereof and also an overview of cybersecurity habits and cryptocurrency with Bitcoin. I've got about 8 minutes or so to speak to Sheikh. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and shukran for joining us on Sunday Live.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, a lot of people, there's just a lot of mixed reactions with regards to, cryptocurrency, bitcoins, etc., etc. Is this permissible?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So there's been much debate on the use of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, Ethereum as a legitimate form of currency and investment in Islam. However, the Sharia emphasizes on real economic activity based on physical assets and frowns more upon pure monetary speculation. Islamic scholars around the world have mixed views on the use of these digital currencies. And the views, they range with them being permissible to something that requires caution, and some of them, outright prohibit cryptocurrencies.
And also, if you look at, some people are asking about the riba.
Yes. So riba becomes in riba and cryptocurrency, I think, is two separate issues. What we need to understand is the fundamentals of cryptocurrency, where it's recognized generally as a medium of exchange within a community. And it's identified by tokens with digital signatures instead of bank notes or physical coins. So if we talk about riba and we have riba in our physical coins or our bank notes, in the same way we would have them in cryptocurrency if it's pegged against global interest rates, etc. So basically with cryptocurrency, what we need to solve or understand is the crypto part. And crypto means basically a puzzle. So like the previous presenter in the interview said, that we need to understand what the puzzle is and identify the actual digital signature. That will give us the definition of what underlies or what the underlying asset is of the currency.
Mm. Because somebody also from 0115 says, Assalamu alaikum, Ghulam and Kiss. Bitcoin is, and you were talking about the puzzle story now, just yes. To sort of delve a little bit more deeper onto this particular comment that came through from 0115, where he says that Bitcoin is a pyramid scheme. Stay away from it. It's a scam creating money out of thin air with no mineral resources like gold to back it up. It just went from 20,000 Rand to 80,000 Rand last year and has not recovered. It's a huge risk.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of skepticism in the market about something new. However, we cannot outright say from an Islamic perspective that it's haram, because the legitimacy and sustainability of the currency is like any other currency. So just to delve a bit in history, if we look in the 9th century, the gold dinar and dirham, most Muslims today still think that it was introduced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, this is incorrect, because the dinar was actually the currency of the Byzantine Empire, and the dirham was the currency of the Persian Empire, and that was pre-Islam. And it was introduced to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and accepted by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a medium of exchange in our market. And the same in the 10th century, after Islam had reached China, the Chinese were using paper money and printing them on papyrus plants. and which became chaotic afterwards because there was nothing backing these plants, and anyone could basically print money, so to speak, because papyrus was available all over the show. So I don't think it's a matter of, and I think, again, the previous presenter pointed out, there is no get-rich-quick schemes in the cryptocurrency game as well. Although it's been marketed and punted like that, us as Muslims should take heed of what type of platform, and when I speak about the platform, is basically the system and the mechanism where Bitcoin is being used as a medium of exchange.
You spoke about the legitimacy. How does one sort of, in terms of research, if I want to get into something like this, how does one check out, to find out basically the legitimacy of it?
So, with the fourth industrial revolution, I mean, we'll be living it at the moment, there's a lot of blurs, a lot of gray areas. So it's very difficult for us, especially non-tech-savvy people, including myself, to understand the underlying matters of the actual tech. But what we need to understand is two things, I think, from an Islamic perspective, and how we look at these currencies or cryptocurrencies. There's two things that is required or that we should look at. And the first one is a principle called istilah, which means social concurrence or mutual agreement. And the second one being a ta'amul, which means an exchange activity. So these two things, for example, when someone offers me something, I have the right to scrutinize, question, identify, do my due diligence if the product or the medium of exchange is worth the value that, or the counter value that I'm exchanging for. Like, for example, before we had currencies, there was the barter trading system, which was accepted across all religions and denominations. However, people of the time or of the jurisdiction determined the value of the asset or currency, if you wish, that is being traded in the specific community. So we need to look at what is concurrent in the social environment and what is actively exchangeable.
Sheikh, just before we wrap it up, and I'm going to give about 2 minutes or so, just to sort of share advice about the do's and don'ts, should one want to pursue this.
Yeah, I think the don'ts, I'll start with the don'ts first. Where it is marketed or punted as, invest X amount, basically the get-rich quick schemes, it's definitely a don't. Where you see a button popping up on your screen and invest in Bitcoin or invest in whatever cryptocurrency it may be, just don't do it.
Right.
Take the link, check out who the people are dealing with it. And also from an Islamic side, there's actually three types of platforms that has a Sharia board, which has looked into the specific platform and has deemed the trade of cryptocurrency on that platform permissible. So I think for us as Muslims, it would be an easier option to protect ourselves to invest or participate, if we want to participate in cryptocurrency, in those who have been approved Sharia compliant by a recognized Sharia board. And I can mention the three, if you allow, or if you want me to, online, to get better insight or oversight of those, or the halal, the Sharia compliant deemed cryptocurrency platforms.
All right. You said you've got to mention the three?
Yes. So the first one is a platform called Lumen. It's the largest Sharia-compliant cryptocurrency backed by the Project Stellar. And then the second one is 1 gram coin. The third one is X8 stablecoin, which is a Swiss fintech startup backed by X8, also stands certified by Sharia Review Bureau. And I know personally Sharia Review Bureau, one of my teachers, Sheikh Faraz Adam from the UK, sits on that board as a researcher as well. So these are quite, these platforms have been scrutinized, have been rigorously reviewed. All the constituents of the platforms are known, and there's no ambiguity or over speculation or gambling that is taking place on these platforms.
And for more information on that, they can visit those websites as well. They can just stick it into Google and just find
Lumen, it out. Lumen, 1 gram coin, and also X8 stablecoin. You can Google it and you can get all the information there. I think the Sharia compliant certificate or the scholars who signed it off, you can check their backgrounds and the details online as well.
Sheikh Ziyad Isaacs, I'm going to leave it there. Shukran so much for your time this morning on Voice of the Cape Sunday Live. Assalamu alaikum.
Shukran for having me, Ghulam. Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah. Sheikh Ziyad Isaacs is a consultant and lecturer at IBSA on Islamic finance and banking. He spoke about basically the permissibility of cryptocurrency with Bitcoin and cybersecurity habits and everything else that goes around it. He also shared some websites that you can go and check it out. 1 gram coin, 8 stable coin, stable coin. And then there was another one, Luna. Just go and Google it, okay? You're going to find all the details around that. This is Sunday Live on Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM this morning.